This is a production of Cornell University.
Okay, I'm just going to go ahead and call the meeting to order. Wendy, if you could, with the roll call.
All right. Layla Abed Al-Majid.
Here.
Morgan Baker.
Here.
Genevieve Bounsa. Kayla Butler.
Present.
Carlo Castillo.
Present.
Uche Chukwukere.
Present.
Lucy Contreras.
Here.
Annette Gleiberman.
Excused. Also, Genevieve's here.
Okay, thanks. Sonu Kapoor.
Here.
Amari Lampert.
Present.
Andrea Miramontes Serrano.
Excused.
Estefania Perez.
Here.
Tomas Reuning.
Here.
Kate Santa Cruz.
Here.
Mardia Chardot.
Here.
Lucas Smith.
Here.
Claire Templeman.
Here.
Valeria Valencia.
Here.
Noah Watson.
Here.
Salam Woldai.
Here.
Valentina Shu.
She's here.
Okay. Johan Yuan.
Excused.
Raquel Zohar.
Here.
Lucas Zampano.
Here.
Sam Z.
Here.
Kat Huang.
I'm here. Could we get a count of members present, please? Thanks, Wendy.
You're welcome.
What's the count of members present?
I wasn't counting. I hope that Kira was.
No worries. Let me see. Okay, let me count really fast. Oh, there we go. Thank you so much. Okay, with 23 members present, the time is 4:50. I'm officially calling the meeting to order. I will begin with the land acknowledgement. Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gayagono Dakaya Nation. The Gayagono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of Gayagono dispossession and honor the ongoing connection of Gayagono people, past and present, to these lands and waters. Thanks, everyone. I'm going to pass it over to EVP Watson for announcements and presentations. And I do know our DOE has an announcement really quickly.
Okay, so with that, thank you, Kat. I'm going to hand it over to Patrick.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Really quickly. The debates are today and next Tuesday and next Thursday for the upcoming SA election. I am very happy to let you all know that we had a 42-43, I can double check the number, but substantially more candidates running for office this time than in some past years. Very excited to see that, very happy to see that every single race at the moment will be filled, so there will be no need for a special election in the fall, assuming no one drops out for any medical reasons or things like that. And so this Thursday, as in at 6:30 today, there's going to be the at-large debate. So the people running for university, the people running as the undergraduate representatives to the university assembly and all of the at-large seats that are happening today at 6:30. Next Tuesday, all of the colleges are going to be speaking. So if you're a college rep, that is next Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. And then finally, next Thursday, and you'll get the same reminder from me again next week, is going to be the president and the EVP. Debates. Highly encourage all of you to come and see what, even if you're graduating, see what the future SA people are going to look like, see what people are talking about, because I'm going to highly encourage you all to vote later as well. And so I would highly, highly ask if you could all please just share graphics you've seen online. I know Cornell Votes have made some. I know the SA has made some that encourage people to go to debates, encourage people to vote. And just a gentle reminder to please keep sharing those. And best of luck to all of you who are campaigning and going to be speaking tonight, next Tuesday and next Thursday.
Thank you so much for sharing, Patrick, and please do turn out for that, everybody, if you can. Also, next on the agenda, I know they're not on the agenda, but I know we have people from Annabelle's Grocery here for a quick presentation. If they want to unmute themselves and share.
Yeah, hi.
Thank you.
So I'll share my screen right now and we can start. Oh, could screen sharing be enabled, please?
I think it should be enabled now.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you.
Let me know if that's not the case.
Yeah, no, you're good. Okay. So, hi, my name is Paola. I'll be presenting along with Kelsey. She's the publicity liaison. We are Annabelle's Grocery, and this is our presentation. So, the outline, we will be talking about the financial health, our current financial situation. We'll be mentioning the cook-along boxes, and at the end, we'll be talking a little bit more about publicity-related stuff that Kelsey will talk about. So, Annabelle's Grocery, what do we do? We are a grocery located in Annabelle Taylor Hall, and we are dedicated to providing fresh, nutritious food that is affordable because we want to strive towards relieving food insecurity on campus. And so what we do is we want to provide this fresh food via local farmers that we purchase it from. And so this is what we have done so far. And there here seen are two graphs. This one is from when we first opened, the top one from March 1st to March 8th. And then the second the bottom graph is the most recent sales week period from March 22nd to March 29th. And so as seen in the above figure, we started off with total sales of 2,230-ish. Our average order value was almost $13. But then given the whole month coming up till April, the total sales number increased dramatically. Well, not dramatically, but increased with a good number up to $2,850. So that's like $600 increase. And what this means is that, as seen here in the red, the average order value increased from $13 to almost $16. And so people are buying more things. Average numbers of orders did not increase as much. So again, we are engaging with our base, and people are buying more groceries, which is important because we want to strive towards being a source where students can buy their staple products, their staple goods. And so we could serve as that outlet that can provide these affordable, nutritious, wholesome goods. And so moving on from the sales, we have our top selling items, which are the vegetable boxes and the fruit boxes. And these boxes are a combination of different groceries that we purchased. And so these groceries, we sell them at a reasonable price, and they have been very popular. And along with these vegetables and fruit boxes, we also had a lot of sales for tofu, eggs, and fresh local bread. And these, as seen here, are staple products. They're food that, you know, they're like these macronutrients that people usually need day to day. And so it's really nice to see that students are coming to Annabelle's to buy these things that they need for their day-to-day eating and cooking. We do have some low-selling items, which are the ones listed to the right, but despite the fact that we have low selling items, there has been a solution or a potential solution to like working with these low selling items where we want to provide these recipe boxes, which contain ingredients with the recipe, and students can buy these boxes and cook the recipe via all the ingredients that are there. And so what we did, what we did here was we sold a polenta box. And so this polenta sold out. There were 10 of them, but it was really interesting to notice that the week that the polenta boxes were sold, because this is an idea that we introduced, this whole week, this was our highest selling week. So it totaled to like $1,480. Average order value was also higher, and we had a large number of orders, 92. This was the most that we got that week. And so it was nice to see how we were able to sell these low selling items via this idea with a recipe box. And so it's a nice way to show that we are working towards dealing with whatever ingredients are left over and ensuring that they are also being sold along with all the other top selling items. And so that was really amazing to see. And so overall, our financial sustainability seems to be with a good outlook. It's auspicious. And we can notice this via our ultimate gross margin, which is almost 30%. Just a quick disclaimer that this isn't entirely accurate due to some technical issues, but it's still a very good approximation as to how we are doing right now in terms of our financial sustainability and our financial health. And so Annabelle's purchasing model is one that's based off of buying a lot of ingredients, a lot of produce in bulk. And in doing so, we are able to lower the cost of goods. And so whenever we're selling these goods, they tend to be sold a lot, and we can sell them at low prices, but then at the same time, we can also gain profit out of this. We are a nonprofit, and we are dedicated to using the subsidy in order to subsidize goods. And you can notice that via like the yellow box at the bottom, Baker's Choice, where it costs us $200 to buy 40 loaves, and we sell it at $140. And so despite the fact that we subsidize a lot of products, we still are able to sell sometimes more, and we gain more than when it costs us to buy. And so ultimately, we are able to garner a positive gross margin due to like these large, not large, but like due to these good profits that we gain from like selling different ingredients. And so a really amazing example is the one in the vegetable box, what has been promoted this semester, where it costs us $107 to sell 151 of these boxes, but yet the returns is huge. It's $1,220. And so these things offset the costs of whatever we do to subsidize our products. And so this is a good way of showing how we are able to financially maintain ourselves, that we're not just taking from the subsidy, but that we're also ensuring that what we're doing is sustainable. And so overall, the gross margin is positive. We're doing well. And the idea is that we are promoting vegetable box, fruit boxes, and these recipe boxes that allow us to sell these low selling items shows how we are still able to be on a good track towards ensuring that we have revenue, we have a fund that we can use and replenish for future semesters, future years. And so overall, I think that we are doing a good job this semester, and we are working towards fulfilling our goal of providing good, affordable food for students in Cornell. And so now I'll pass it on to Kelsey and she can talk.
Great, thanks. So as Paula was saying, we have been pushing out these cook-along boxes. So these kind of sprung from the idea of our CSA style vegetable and fruit boxes that really help eliminate the paradox of choice when you're looking at groceries and help narrow down what you want to buy and what you know how to buy. And this also helps push out product that we're not selling as well. From a purely economic standpoint, this is great for us, but also in terms of fulfilling our mission, in terms of education about how to cook certain vegetables, like eggplant, for example, for like radishes. This is kind of where we step in and say, these might be unfamiliar, but we're gonna show you how you can kind of diversify your diet. So these have been great cook-alongs. The picture with the polenta box was me and my other coordinator, Sarah. We had a lot of fun. So you should definitely tune in on Saturdays. We have a link on our website and on social media, 4 p.m. And so these cook-along boxes for this week, for example, is our quinoa box. And so what we'll be making is a quinoa bowl with our frozen roasted vegetables. These have been pretty successful in terms of selling out. And we do a unique one every week. So for example, this week is quinoa box, 2 weeks ago is polenta box. And we also have other boxes that we'll be rolling out. Recently, we pushed through a breakfast box to kind of give students a little taste of just like oatmeal, soy milk, peanut butter, and some fruits just as something easy to have in the morning. So if you have any interest in hosting one of these, bring a friend, reach out to us, and we can help you set up with the ingredients. I feel like this has been really fulfilling our mission and is also economically sustainable, which is super exciting. And if you want to take us to the next slide, something that we're pushing out right now is we want to get a better read on the pulse of what food insecurity looks like right now on campus. So this is a QR code, but I'm also going to drop the link in the chat to the survey. If you would like to take it and also distribute along your own channels and networks. It's not too long. It asks just some demographic questions and then some questions about your shopping preferences and grocery, like what you look for when you purchase groceries. This will help us better address food security and hopefully help us identify people who are not seeing us on campus, who don't know about us, and try and raise awareness. So we are sending this along other listservs, including first generation and BIPOC groups. So far, we have gotten 8 responses and 2 people have agreed to be interviewed. So we're very excited to see what they have to say. So just to plug that a little bit, I can also follow up with an email to the survey if that's an easier format to distribute. And that's pretty much it. If you want to take us to the last slide. Again, our store hours, if you don't follow us on social media, you definitely should, but we always post when we're open. It's Monday at noon to Thursday at noon, and then you pick up the following Friday from noon to 6 p.m. We also have a compost box outside the store, right where you do your pickup. If you have any compost from the week, drop it off and we will make sure that gets sorted. So if you have any questions, feel free to ask and reach out. So thanks for listening. And I really hope that we get some more survey responses.
Yeah,
thank you. Awesome. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing today. Definitely every student assembly member, fill out those surveys if you can. If you guys can send possibly like a link in the chat, that would be great. And just moving on with our agenda, we have Joseph Mullen with, Kat, do you have a question?
I have a quick question. Is there any stuff on social media that we can like pop over to our essay Instagram to help share the surveys or like vote Annabelle's?
That will be coming out, I think, later this week, early next week. I can DM you if that helps when we post that.
Fantastic. That'd be super helpful. Thank you, Kelsey.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other questions? And if no, I'm going to hand the floor over to Joseph.
Yeah, thank you so much, Noah. And hi, I'm Joseph Mullen. I'm a community member. I'm also the chair for the Cornell Progressives Anti-War Committee. I'm just going to be doing a brief presentation on the ongoing war in Yemen and what Cornell can do to stop it. And let me pull that up right now. Yeah, so just to start off, I didn't put it on the slide, but I meant to, a brief content warning. There's going to be discussion of war crimes and in the ongoing war, you know, some pictures of not of victims, but of sites that have been destroyed. So putting that out there, content warning. And I did just want to start off by addressing why I'm doing this presentation now. The war has been going on for multiple years now, so why now? It's worth noting that there's ongoing action right now this week. For example, a group of Yemeni activists that I've done some work with, now they're on day 10, I believe, of a hunger strike that's demanding that the Biden administration push to end the Saudi blockade of Yemen. And here are some screen caps of some social media activism that shows the ongoing pressure to end the blockade. So just to start off with a brief discussion of what exactly is happening in Yemen and the war that's ongoing. And I've provided a graphic to show Saudi Arabia and Yemen. But since 2014, there's been an ongoing war between a coalition of nations that's been led by Saudi Arabia, as well as support from America and the United Kingdom, backing Abdrabah Mansour Hadi, who's the dictator of Yemen, in a civil war against the Houthis, who are an opposing political faction. And caught in the crossfire, unfortunately, are the Yemeni people. Saudi Arabia has been committing a variety of atrocities, from bombing school buses and hospitals to blockading Yemen and engineering a man-made famine that is starving civilians. In 2021, the newly elected President Joe Biden announced he would suspend American support for the Saudi coalition due to the growing number of war crimes being committed, but this does not erase American complicity during the Trump and Obama administrations. And here are some of the statistics that truly represent the horrors of the war right now. There have been 8,338 civilian deaths and 1,283 of which were children, 22,701 coalition bombings, including hospitals, funerals, ancient relics, and as I mentioned, school buses, and 85,000 children dead from the engineered famine, 130 children dying each day, and 10 million at risk of famine. And here are some pictures just showing some of the devastation that's been caused by the Saudi-led coalition, including in the bottom right, a picture of one of the school buses that was targeted by the Saudi coalition. And so the reason we're bringing this up and discussing this is that Cornell has been partnered in Saudi Arabia for a while. And as of a couple weeks ago, I know the Student Assembly passed a resolution discussing our partnerships with foreign countries. That's kind of why this resolution is being discussed now, because we also have to look at our relationship with Saudi Arabia. And the two that are most prominent are one in Thuwal, the Cornell University KAUST, and KAUST stands for the King Abdul University of Science and Technology, the Center for Research and Education. And that was a $25 million project. And then also our relationship with the Global Business School in Jeddah. Saudi Arabia is actively profiting from our partnership with them, including these institutions that operate in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. They consistently post using Cornell's logo and imagery and use it to advertise, using our reputation to lend more credibility to the brand of these schools. But as Cornell professors and faculty wrote in a 2018 letter to President Pollack, these schools actually have partnerships with the Saudi Ministry of Defense and the Royal Court of Saudi Arabia, which are directly responsible for the war in Yemen. These are clients of these universities. And so it does raise a question of whether we profit from our partnership with the Saudis. it's well known that in 2009, we received $25 million, as I mentioned before, from the KAUST King Abdullah University of Science and Technology. And when Cornell professors and faculty asked the university to disclose all donations from Saudi Arabia in 2018, they didn't get any response. We still do not have full transparency from the university. And I put an excerpt from their letter to President Pollack that was published in the Daily Sun, in which they asked to discontinue Cornell's institutional and financial collaboration with the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. And it was also further asked that they disclose all grants and gifts received from Saudi Arabia, in addition to programmatic collaboration such as academic exchanges. We still, 3 years later, do not have transparency on those ties with Saudi Arabia. And so that's part of what this presentation and the upcoming resolution are about, is just getting transparency in our relationship. And another aspect of this that has to be discussed when it comes to the war in Yemen and our complicity in it is the School of Engineering's relationship with weapons manufacturers and arms manufacturers that are actively selling to Saudi Arabia. I've taken some screenshots on the Cornell Engineering website that show the different corporate partnerships with some of the most prominent arms manufacturers in the US and in the UK, such as BAE, Northrop Grumman, Lockheed Martin, and Boeing. And to just go down the list, BAE sold £15 billion worth of arms to the Saudis since 2015. They're currently being accused of being party to war crimes in a complaint to the ICC. Northrop Grumman also sold $2.5 billion worth of arms to Saudi Arabia, and they're one of the major suppliers to the Saudi Royal Air Force, which has been regularly bombing civilians in Yemen. Lockheed Martin is perhaps the worst offender. They supplied the bombs used by Saudi Arabia in the Dayan airstrike, where the coalition bombed a school bus and killed 40 children, which is undeniably a war crime. And Boeing doesn't just make airplanes, they also received a $2.6 billion contract in 2020 to sell missiles to Saudi Arabia. But luckily that deal was canceled by the Biden administration. And I've just added some pictures of different activists, different groups that have been pointing out the fact that these arms manufacturers are directly involved with Saudi Arabia. For example, one activist who went to a BAE recruiting fair and held up a sign and mentioned that BAE bombed his school in Yemen. Activist who painted a school bus with Boeing and noted that they are gaining from Yemen's pain. And then activist who spray painted Yemen on the headquarters of Lockheed Martin. And so these are some of the demands that are going to be presented in the upcoming resolution. The first, immediately ending all partnerships with Saudi institutions such as the Global Business School in Jeddah and the KAUST in Thuwal, disclosing all grants and donations from Saudi Arabia and reinvesting them in organizations fighting for the Yemeni people, immediately ending Cornell Engineering's partnership with the arms manufacturers listed, BAE, Northrop Grumman, Lockheed Martin, and Boeing, reinvesting the donations from arms manufacturers into humanitarian groups aiding Yemeni victims. And in addition, following the ethical process that's been laid out by previously passed Resolution 39, before establishing future partnerships in nations involved actively in war, never allowing these major arms manufacturers to recruit at Cornell again, which they have been, and publicly condemning the war in Yemen and ceasing business with any company profiting from the war. The war's been going on for so long at this point. We had an opportunity in 2018 to do something about it with the letter that professors and faculty sent, but the administration didn't do anything. And so I think it's time now that the administration in the United States under Biden is trying to hopefully put an end to the war. Activists are, you know, actively going on hunger strikes and trying to end the war. I think it's time that Cornell do something. And if we don't, we continue to be complicit in these atrocities that are being committed by Saudi Arabia in Yemen. Thank you. I can take questions, or I'm not sure.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you for sharing this, Joseph. I'll take a speakers list if anybody has any questions for him. And okay, Lucas?
Yeah, I guess this actually might be more of a question for Kat. I'm curious if we received a response yet on resolution 39, because I think that this is great. I'm looking forward to the resolution coming in this specific regards, but I think it'd be helpful to understand, you know, what are the thoughts on where we're at, because we might need to double down on resolution 39 or revise some things. So
that's a great question, Lucas. We have not received a response from the president yet, but I do know like the faculty, Senate, and a lot of other bodies are aware of this and in full support. So we can keep sending messages up, and depending on the status of this resolution, then hopefully we can request an earlier response.
Thank you.
Of course. Thank you for your question, Lucas. Kareem?
I just wanted to thank Joseph for bringing up such an important topic. The suffering in Yemen is catastrophic. And you know, as part of the Arab Student Association, it really is one of the most important issues. And, you know, I've never seen someone tackle it so thoroughly, and, you know, going seeing which companies and the donations and everything. Thank you so much, Joseph. We really appreciate it here at the Arab Student Association.
Amazing. Thanks so much, Kareem. And Joseph, of course, thank you for your advocacy. Wonderful. If there are more questions or comments, please raise your hands. All right, seeing as there are no more hands, Joseph, thank you so much for this presentation. I really look forward to seeing your resolution in the coming weeks. Oh, sorry, I think, no, are you technically chairing right now? Sorry, I forgot.
Take over, it's fine.
My bad. Okay, amazing. So I think we're out of announcements and presentations at this point onto our agenda items, but I'm sorry, open mic, Noah.
Oh yeah, so we're gonna move into open microphone if any members of the community wish to speak about any issues that are not on our agenda for this week. Please just raise your hand and I can call on you. Mardia?
Hi everyone. So I've got this news from Reddit, but they're trying to close the Ivy Room. I was wondering if anyone wanted to help make some sort of resolution, because we were able to keep Annabelle Goldsheets from closing, and maybe we can do something about the Ivy Room closing.
Awesome, thanks, Maria. I do know there are folks in the SA who are interested. I know some folks were just talking about it earlier. Please, if you are interested, could you like put a star in the chat so Maria can record this and know who to work with? Yes. Awesome, okay. Just keep putting stars in, and Maria, if you want to just like record the folks who are interested in working with you, I'm on that list if you need any help. I do see Lucas has a hand up. And for the freshmen, maybe we should answer what Ivy Room is.
Yeah, I was just wondering, I guess this would be something good to refer to dining committee, right?
Sure, yeah. We can get in touch with Brian Weintraub, who is our chair of dining. Marty, if you're familiar with him, he's in the SA Slack. And yes, so for those who aren't familiar, Ivy Room is like a small dining hall restaurant in the bottom of Willard Street. They have pretty good food. It's a great place for food on Central. It's like next to Oak and Shields, kind of, if you know what Oak and Shields is either. I hope that helps.
Yeah, they take BRBs.
Yes, they do take BRBs. Oh, thank you, Patrick. Word on the street is Oak and Shields is expanding and taking over that space. I don't know if we want that. Anyways, again, so if you put a star in the chat, Marty, if you could please just like compile them, feel free to make a Slack channel in our Slack, or start an email thing. Alrighty, do we have any other questions or feedback about the Ivy Room situation? Okay, back to Noah for open mic.
I think there's no one else, Kat, so I'm just gonna hand it over to you. Thank
Perfect.
You.
Thank you. Alrighty, okay. I do know we have one item on the agenda, but I believe there is a motion to table.
Yeah, motion to table resolution 40 until further notice.
All right, thank you for that motion to table. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, is there any objection? There's no objection. I'm just going to pass that by unanimous consent. It has been tabled. We do have to do the minutes really quickly. I forgot. So Wendy, thank you for the reminder. I'll allow a couple seconds to review the minutes, and after that, I would look favorably upon a motion to pass with unanimous consent.
Motion to pass by unanimous consent.
Second.
Thank you. Is there any objection? Seeing as there's no objection, the minutes have been passed. That is the end of our agenda. Are there any other things to bring up? If so, please put your hands up. Otherwise, I would look favorably upon a motion to adjourn so everyone can enjoy this beautiful spring day.
Motion to adjourn.
Thank you. Second. Is there a second? Thank any you. Objection? Okay, good. No objection. Goodbye, everyone. Have a good weekend.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.